out in the field, two are in the bed. One of them is taken, the other one is left, like a thief in the night. In the twinkling of an eye, our Lord shall catch away his bride. The trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. The grave shall open up, the dead in Christ shall enter in, and those that remain will be caught up in the sky. But I'm asking you, are you ready? Oh, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. The grave shall open up, the dead in Christ shall enter in. Those that remain will be caught up in the sky, but I'm asking you, are you ready? There are so many excuses why you will not serve the Lord. I'm too young or I'm too busy, I don't believe the word. If somebody would go with me, not today but another time. He's not coming for such a long, long time. Oh, but the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. The grave shall open up, the dead in Christ shall enter in, and those that remain will be caught up in the sky. But I'm asking you, are you ready? Oh, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. The grave shall open up, the dead in Christ shall enter in, and those that remain will be caught up in the sky. But I'm asking you, are you ready? Excuses why you will not serve the Lord. I'm too young or I'm too busy, I don't believe the word. If somebody would go with me, not today but another time. He's not coming for such a long, long time. Oh, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. The grave shall open up, the dead in Christ shall enter in, and those that remain will be caught up in the sky. But I'm asking you, are you ready? Friend, I'm asking you, are you ready?
In the book of Luke this morning, trust the Lord to help us. Luke chapter 19. I don't know if I told you what chapter or not, but Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. I want to drop into the middle of a parable, and for the sake of time, just read one verse. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. Praise the Lord. Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 45, just a portion of that verse. And it came to pass in the meanwhile. And it came to pass in the meanwhile. If the Lord would help us for a little while this morning, I want to preach to us on the meanwhile perspective. The meanwhile perspective. I like to have good perspective. I like to have good perception. Sometimes things are not as they seem. Sometimes it's all how you look at it. Is that glass half full or half empty? Brother Ed was telling me this morning about a lady. She said a man gave her a great compliment. What did he say? He said, "I look like a breath of spring." I said, "Oh, that's good." She said, "Well, that ain't exactly what he said." I said, "He really told me I look like the end of a bad winter." But it's all in how you perceive it. Huh? Yeah. It's all how you look at it. Sometimes you got to be sure you hear it right. You know, my most common phrase that I say to my boys is, "Huh?" That's too many dull saw blades and loud planers running all my life. Got my hearing where it's not as good as it used to be. And sometimes my perception and my perspective on what they're saying is not entirely accurate. The other day I was eating lunch in this little restaurant, and this lady was sitting right behind me at the next table. And I wasn't paying attention to her, but all of a sudden my radar picked up on something she said. She said, he likes witchcraft. And immediately she had my undivided eavesdropping attention. Turned that head sideways so that good ear would be towards her. And I want to see what she's talking. Who in the world is she talking about likes witchcraft? And I realized, Brother Marvin, she's talking about one of her pets. So he likes peanut butter crackers too, but he really likes Ritz crackers. Is it witchcraft or is it Ritz crackers? And I realized I just misunderstood. Had the wrong perception, you know, of what she was trying to say. Amen. Sometimes you just got to look at it the right way. Amen. And, you know, I'm looking at the situations in our world, and there's so many things that are taking place. I believe we're living in the middle of a lot of fulfilling of prophecy. We're living and we're watching things come to pass. And if you put it all together, we're living in the shadow of the coming of the Lord. And, you know, we're on the edge and already entering into things that fulfill the prophecies that we have known about and heard about for years. I mean, we're just really waiting right now for the coming of the Lord. You think about it. You know, it's just right. But while we're waiting and while we're enduring hardness as a good soldier, we got to have the right perspective. You got to have the right meanwhile perspective. What am I going to do in the meanwhile? Amen. What am I going to do while God is waiting? Hallelujah. What am I going to do as I see these things begin to come to pass? Am I going to allow it to affect me so bad that I lose hope? That I lose all that I have? Am I going to allow the oppression of the end times to cause me to lose that celestial fire that burns in my soul that makes me go back and worship God and keep on living right and keep praying? What am I going to do in the meanwhile? Amen. Sometimes I think that if we were to follow the path that Satan would try to force us down, we would call off the efforts for any kind of revival. We would call off the efforts for any kind of a move of God. We would give in to the mounting pressure that's around us to compromise and to allow ourselves to let ourselves go. Amen. We would succumb to the spirit of the great falling away. And you know those things are coming to pass around us. That's right. We like to talk about, really a lot of times I think we use it as an excuse to excuse our slackness and our laziness. But we like to use that scripture. Well, you know, the Bible said that in the last days there'd be a great falling away. Raise your hand if you believe that's in the Bible. A lot of y'all doubt it, don't you? You ain't raising your hand. I believe it's there. Just read it. Amen. I believe it's in the Bible. But I never did read in the Word of God where it said that I had to be a part of that. Come on now. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. As you see, you know, the times changing and the day approaching. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts become overcharged. Come on now. With drunkenness, amen. Surfeitings, amen. That's indulgence, overindulgence. Man, aren't we living in that age, overindulgence? Hallelujah. Just let me pause here for a minute and tell you, there's a lot of things in this world that really, that you cannot point your finger at that thing and say it is a sin. But the overindulgence thereof is a sin. Come on here now. That's right. The problem is, and the reason we've had to preach against it so hard, is because people don't know how to do things in moderation. Oh, come on now, church. Hallelujah. I could be more specific if it would help the cause here this morning. I know that every one of us know that we need vitamin E for our bodies. It's an essential vitamin. We got to have it. But they tell me that snake venom, that's all that snake venom is an extremely high concentrate of vitamin E. Huh? You got to have it, but all of it at one time will kill you. Oh, y'all not following me now. Amen. The overindulgence of things will kill you. Jesus said, take heed lest your hearts become overcharged with drunkenness and surfeitings. And you say, I'm not a drunk. I don't have a problem with overindulgence. But I'll tell you what we do have a problem with. He said, the cares of this life. Amen. Overcharged. The electricians here will know that when you overcharge the circuit, the breaker throws. The fuse blows. Come on now. That's right. You suffer burnout. Praise God. And I feel like that every one of us, saved and sinner alike, and I'm preaching right here to the church, I feel like that we're suffering from that in this generation. We become overcharged with things. Amen. That's why it's hard to raise your hands when you go to the house of God. That's why it's hard to go to the house of God sometimes. Because we become so overcharged with so many other things that have pulled us away. I'm telling you, we need to change our meanwhile perspective. That's right. Amen. You say, what do we do in the meanwhile? We're waiting on the coming of the Lord. Prophecies are being fulfilled. Things are happening. Things that we've watched to happen over the years, and we've seen them come to pass. Dangerous times. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul gives us a whole list. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I think we can all agree that perilous times have been here for quite some time now. The sad part about it is we were so busy and overtaken by it until we didn't realize that they had come. Come on here now, church. Oh, yes. But dangerous times have come upon us. For years and years, we heard it preached that the Catholic Church was the Antichrist and that they would be the great whore of the end time. And I don't know about all of that, but it's looking like it's not Catholicism. Amen. As much as it is Islam that's rising up against us. Come on here now, church. Amen. 150 years ago, these Islamic nations, they were of no consequences. Just a bunch of Arabs, we called them. Amen. But whenever our world become addicted to petroleum because of their propensity to produce oil, they became, amen, a mighty force in the political, the social, the economical, and the spiritual realms of our world. There's not a nation in this world that makes a move without consulting, amen, those oil-producing nations. Amen. And it's all in you. What? Every one of them are haters of the nation of Israel. Come on now. That's right. Where are you going with this? I'm trying to follow the Spirit here this morning. amen, and help you to realize that we're living in that meanwhile, almost on the verge, amen, right on the very edge of the coming of the Son of God, amen. 2,500 years ago, Israel was scattered abroad across the world. Not long thereafter, amen, Ezekiel prophesied, amen, about a shaking and a rattling and a coming together in Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. And that was a prophecy that came to pass in 1948. A self-governed nation rose again. Amen. Israel was once again recognized. That's something that a lot of you saw happen in your lifetime. Oh, come on now, church. A lot of things are happening. Amen. China, one of the most closed nations, amen, in history, is now pushing for an openness and a one world currency. Oh, just stay with me a few minutes now. I won't have time to go into a lot of details here. Amen. Our world has never been so interlocked economically, technologically. Amen. You can go in a store anywhere in the world, and you've heard that slogan, Visa. It's everywhere you want to be. Amen. That's right. It's everywhere you want to be, from what I can understand. Amen. Around the world, they're pushing for this one world currency and all of the, and I don't have a lot of details on it, but just little tidbits here and there. Things are lining up. Things are aligning themselves. Come on now. Because God is looking down upon us. But you see, in the midst of all of that, there's still a church. Amen. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, that church will become so overwhelmed. That's you and me. We'll become so overwhelmed and so overcharged with so many things until we will lose our perspective of what's really going on. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I don't want to get too caught up in so many details this morning that I miss the point of this message. But I feel like that while we're waiting, amen, there should not be a slackness among us. While we are waiting, there should not be, amen, a lethargy among us. While we are waiting, there should not be that spirit among us that says, let's just accept things as they are and keep moving on. No, amen, but while we are waiting, there's still a revival to be had. While we are waiting, there's still souls to be won. While we are waiting, there's still individuals that need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. While we are waiting, God is still moving. Meanwhile, do we relax? Amen. Accepting things as they are. Amen. You could say, amen, and question like John the Baptist. You know, he was in trouble. He was in prison. I feel like he was suffering from depression. Amen. I feel like I would be. That's right. I'd preach the gospel. He'd preach the gospel. They locked him up. He knew he was headed for the, amen, having his head cut off. He sent word to Jesus and he said, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus didn't send word back, if I remember correctly. He didn't send word back and say, yeah, I'm the one. He just sent word back of all those things that you've seen, all those miracles that you've seen. Well, what do we do, Brother Tony, in the meanwhile? What do we do in the meanwhile? Amen. Oh, yes. Do we join, that last day's crowd where the Bible said they said, where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Nothing's going to happen. Oh, Jesus is not going to come, they say. If we join that crowd, we too will be labeled as mockers and scoffers, mocking the rapture, scoffing at the only real hope. I want to tell you, as we live in hope, let's plow in hope. Come on now. I said, as we live in hope, what hope is that? The blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it was, is, and will be the incentive of the church. Come on now. It keeps our hearts set on heaven, our vision looking upward. Hallelujah. It keeps our souls aflame. It gives our message power. It gives our message teeth to sink in. Hallelujah. I say, as we preach this hope and as we live in this hope, let's work in this hope, and let's don't give up hope. Let's don't give up hope in the meanwhile. I know there's different perspectives and different ways to look at the meanwhile this morning. I went through the scriptures and was looking at different things that happened in the meanwhile. Amen. Meanwhile is where that future, amen, paradise, it meets present day problems. Now just think with me for a minute here. That's the meanwhile. Future paradise meets present day problems. It's where the hopes of rapture meet current reality. Stay with me now. Amen. It's where future redemption and present day oppression collide with one another. In the meanwhile, I'll give you some examples. Meanwhile, Lazarus kept getting sicker. Meanwhile, Lazarus died. Come on now. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, Jesus had told his disciples, get in this boat and go to the other side. But meanwhile, a storm came up. Y'all follow me? Meanwhile, their ship was tossed and driven. Hallelujah. Meanwhile. That's right. The church was a praying. Church was a doing the work for God in the book of Acts. But meanwhile, Herod killed James and locked Peter up in prison. In the meanwhile. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. In the meanwhile, Jesus healed a woman that was sick with an issue of blood. But meanwhile, Jairus' daughter died. Come on now. Meanwhile, right in the midst of the plan of God that was working like a well-oiled machine, meanwhile, Judas conspired to betray. Meanwhile, Peter denied him. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But you see, that's not the only way to look at the meanwhile. We can look at it like Mary and Martha. If we like, they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not have died. Come on now. Amen. They knew that he was God enough that if he'd have been there, he'd have healed Lazarus of that sickness. Jesus told them, he said, your brother shall live again. She said, I know he will. He'll live again in the resurrection. She knew he was God enough in the past to have prevented it. And she knew it was God enough in the future, in that great day of resurrection. But Jesus wasn't waiting until that great day of resurrection. But in the meanwhile, he said, I am. That's in the present tense. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Right here, right now. I'd like to tell you, we know that God's going to redeem this church. We know that we are headed for the most cataclysmic event to ever hit this planet. Amen. Since the creation, the most effective thing to happen since the crucifixion, and that is the catching away of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, we don't have to wait till then. Amen. To feel his presence and to know his power. But meanwhile, we can have a revival while God is waiting. We can have a revival. We can see souls saved. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Meanwhile, if I could say it like this, you know, and I know this is scattered this morning, just bear with me. Praise the Lord. David is destined for the throne. Samuel pulled him out from the sheep fields and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And he said, you are to be king one day. Immediately his life went into turmoil. Saul chased him. I read somewhere it was 13 years, somewhere it was more. But several years went by. That oil that Samuel poured on his head had long been absorbed by the dust of the field that he was staying in. Amen. The whisper of Samuel's voice in his ear had long been obscured by the shouts of his pursuants as they chased him like a fugitive and a vagabond and a common criminal. Hallelujah. He didn't feel much like a king, but he knew that one day he would be king. David is destined for the throne. There's going to come a time Saul is going to die, and the men of Judah are going to take him and anoint him king. There's going to come a few days later, and Abner's going to come and take the bullet to see that kingdom united. A lot of folks think Abner died like a fool. That David didn't say that. David asked that. Read your Bible. There's a question mark there. Did Abner die like a fool? He said, died Abner as a fool? Died? Question mark. There's a question there. I don't believe Abner died like a fool. Amen. Now don't fall out with me here. But if you'll read that story, it was his life that was given that reunited the kingdoms of Judah and Israel together. Hallelujah. There will come a time there will be a reuniting. Oh yes, and David has already got a band of men following him. Now stay with me here. Amen. But as he comes in while he's out fighting battles, meanwhile back at home, Ziklag is burned with fire and his family's taken captive. Looked like a dark day. The Bible said they spake of stoning David. David went to the Lord and he said, Lord, what am I going to do? What to do? What to do? Come on now, church. What am I going to do? I know I'm destined for the throne. I know that you put your hand on me. Your anointing is upon my life. Amen. But I'm not there yet. So what am I going to do in the meanwhile? I want to know, Lord. Amen. The future's bright, but the present's really dark. Some of you been right there. Some of you there right now. The future's really bright because we have hope in the coming of the Lord. But the present is really dark. So what do we do in the meanwhile? And the Lord said, I want you to go after them. And he said, I want you to pursue after them. And he said, when you get there, you will without fail recover all. Hallelujah. Oh, what a promise. But you see, that wasn't just a promise, amen, for somewhere way down the road. That was a promise that would remedy the very present circumstances that they had. Hallelujah. I want to tell you there's going to come a time that we shall reign as kings and priests. Hallelujah. But what do we do in the meanwhile? I say let's pursue. Let's pursue a revival. Let's pursue that one that's lost. Let's pursue that one that's backslidden. Let's pursue those backsliders that have turned their back on God. Let's go after them. I feel like we have a present day promise that says you will without fail recover them all.
I got a phone call Friday. Brother Dwayne Watson called me. And he's wanting me to come over there today. He's out of town. He said, can you come? I said, no, sorry. But he got to tell me, he said, I got a lot of good preaching in my church. He said, I want somebody that's been a pastor to go fill in for me Sunday morning. He's never gone on Sunday morning, hardly ever. And I apologize, couldn't go, but he said, reason is, he said, there's some folks coming. They're coming. And he said, one young man, do you remember? I know you know David Trawick, Brother Bill. Brother David called him the other day. Brother David's been here, and I think. And he said, Brother Dwayne, there's this guy that's going to come to your church. He called Dwayne on Saturday night. He said, there's this guy coming to your church. I don't know when he's coming, but said, you know, he's looking for a church in that area. And so the next morning, this guy come in the back door. And Brother Dwayne said he'd come in late. And he said, He preached that morning on backing up and regrouping and finding the mark that you had missed. You know, the words is regrouping and starting over. And he said, that man bowed down at his pew and prayed, but then he left early. He said, so he came late and left early, and I didn't get to speak to him. So that night, he came a little earlier. And he said, I delayed starting time and went over and talked to him. He introduced himself. Name is Ronnie Posey. I don't know if you remember him or not. He said, Ronnie asked him, he said, you know Ralph Cox? Yeah, I know Ralph Cox. You know Ralph Horton? Yeah. You know Shad and Russell McDonald? Oh, yeah. Know them. He said, why don't you call them guys and ask them about me? He said, I pastored a church of 300 plus in Texas. I walked away from it 16 years ago. He said, I lost my family. I'm alone now. And he said, Brother Dwayne said, I went home and I called Shad McDonald. I think he might have even been in Shad's wedding. He said he called Brother Russell. He called these guys and he started asking them. And he said, Brother, he was one of the most learned men in Pentecost. A phenomenal preacher. Camp meetings, revivals all over this country. In the Assemblies of God, and had preached with Brother Russell and Shad and come up with them in their area. Amen. And he said, Brother Shad told him, he said, if you've got him on the line, brother, get him in. Get him in. Get him in. Oh, we're waiting on that rapture. But meanwhile, there's a backslid preacher that's sitting on our church pews. Oh, God. We've got great hopes of the rapture, but meanwhile, there's a backslid boy. There's a backslid girl sitting on our pews. He said he run me down a few days later in Walmart. Run him down. Standing in the aisle at Walmart crying, tears streaming down his face. He said, I've been alone for 16 years. And he said, I come to your church the other day and I felt what I hadn't felt in 16 years. As God began to deal with his heart. Come on here now, church. I'll tell you what I think you ought to do in the meanwhile. I think we ought to reach out. Oh, I hear that old argument. I hear that old argument. Yeah, that's what they told one pastor. If we wanted that kind of riffraff coming to our church, we'd have had them a long time ago. Come on here now. Oh, God. Oh, that's a wrong perspective. You see, there's two churches in the New Testament that I want to point out right here. Just bear with me a moment. Thessalonica, they seem to have a tendency to pull themselves into a shell. Amen, and not do anything. And then there was Laodicea. They threw off all stops and they said, anything goes. We're just going to, amen, just have at it. Worldliness or whatever. Amen. That's neither one of them are the right perspective. But I want to tell you there's a focus point. And that focus point is that we have a meanwhile mission. Come on now, church. Oh, we've been in maintenance mode for a long time. It's time to step out of maintenance mode and get into mission mode. And let's reach. I said, let's reach. Reach. God, help us to reach. There's somebody out there that's just struggling. There's somebody out there with heartache. There's somebody out there that's broken. There's somebody out there that's backslid. Oh, God, let's have a revival. And let's reach them. Oh, God. Oh, God. What am I going to do? I'm facing things right now. I'm not in a big trial or anything. God has helped us and brought us through a lot in the last 10 years. Some of you are aware of where we've been. But right now, I don't know if I'm even aware of where I'm going. That's right. Amen. But I tell you what. The Lord laid it on our heart to be where we are in the ministry. And I've got some decisions to make pretty quick about some things that are bothering me. Our preacher came. We was in revival. I told you last night, like maybe 4 weeks. We hadn't preached 4 weeks, but we had been in about 4 weeks of revival almost every night. And Brother Michael Carter came to our church this past week, and he preached Friday night on using what is in you to change what is around you. Oh, God. I'm telling you, I looked over at my wife during that service, Brother Archie, with tears in my eyes, and I felt the Holy Ghost. And I said, is that man preaching to me or what? Is he just plowing my row or what? Because I've got a meanwhile. Man, I've shouted all over this place about the rapture. That's right. We've shouted all over this place about the coming of the Lord and that great hope that we have. But I'm not gone yet. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived yet. Oh, God. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have arrived. Really what he said was, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's really what he meant. What that word means is, I haven't arrived yet. But he said, this one thing I do. He said, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Woo! Oh yeah, that's a great start, isn't it? A lot of us have forgotten those things that are behind us. But that's not the end of it. Meanwhile, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching forth. I said, reaching forth unto those things that are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What are we doing in the meanwhile? Let's press in. Let's press on. Let's press through. Oh, let's change the perspective and do something for God while we have a time. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mentioned at the beginning of this message, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said, perilous times shall come. Then he went on to give us a list. Men shall be lovers of them own selves. Amen. Covetous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The list goes on and on. Verse 13, he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And he's writing to a young preacher. Timothy is the young preacher. And he's telling him of all these things. Now, I believe Timothy was a nervous kind of fella. Now, you say, how you know that? Well, Paul warned different churches about how they treated Timothy. Or he didn't warn them, he admonished them. Treat him good. He's a little bit, fragile, he's young. Treat him good. Don't do anything to upset him. This is my own interpretation, all right? So if you disagree, that's fine. I won't fall out with you. And then one man implied that he thought Timothy had, bad stomach ulcers, which are a result of nerve problems. And I'll tell you where he got that from. Paul also told Timothy, he said, drink no longer water, but a little wine for your stomach's sake. He said, that's far-fetched. Well,